Welcome to ForceDream.com, and today we're going to delve a little into the subject of being sleepy believers, or not.
There's a really cool verse that I discovered a number of years ago for myself. Personally, it was there a long time before I found it, but in Ephesians 5, it says, "Awake, sleeper, rise from the dead, and the light of Christ will shine on you." So, you know, that whole idea of being awake and asleep. And I've thought a lot about that. I spent a lot of time teaching about the, you know, what wakes you up? What wakes you up spiritually? And there are some great resources here today on the post. So down below, you can kind of click on some other things. One of them is a discussion of the sleepy dream. And, you know, when I talk about the sleepy dream, Bernadette, I'm talking about just the idea that you kind of... You're not really awake. You know how that feels when you're waking up, when you're trying to pull yourself out of a nap, and when you're in a hole and you
may or may not know if you're asleep. That's kind of the other thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's some stuff down there for you to look at, how to know when you're spiritually asleep and how to keep waking yourself up. Mm-hmm. Because that's the problem with being asleep, is that some people don't know that they are.
Mm-hmm. And the first several verses before this kind of talk about being imitators of God and give some real practical things to sort of be aware of as to whether you might be asleep or not.
Yeah, and I think as we consider these different subjects, we're trying to find hope, and through hope, we're trying to find a satisfied mind, which you can translate as peace or whatever you want to call it. But this is Paul's shot in Ephesians 4:5 about talking about the why and the what of waking up. So Ephesians 5, we're kind of looking at the whole chapter today, so we'll see how we do.
So watch what God does, and then you do it, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that.
This there's a word in my translation that says imitate God, mm-hmm. which, you know, that's kind of a breathtaking concept. I'm supposed to imitate God. But yeah, he's explaining, you know, what is going to keep us staying awake is our love for one another. And not only that, but it's totally connected with God. And in my translation, it says a fragrant aroma that goes back up to God, because it's part of our offering to God. So that's part of staying awake, is choosing to love.
So in how can we imitate God? One way is by being willing to die to ourselves. I was talking to a friend yesterday or today about our marriages and how sometimes to say what we need is kind of hard. But even harder is hearing what my spouse needs or hearing what you need. And sometimes it's so not me that it's awkward to do what you need me to do.
Yes.
You know what I mean. And so, but that in reality, when I do that, that means I'm dying to myself. And dying to myself is being like, it's imitating God. He was willing to send his son. But dying to myself is sometimes really awkward. It's not just difficult. It's makes you self-conscious, but have to be willing to imitate him in dying to myself and becoming like him.
And that's the connected part that God is trying to get at here in this passage about being awake. The next paragraph, the next couple of verses talk about three things, and I don't know how they are in your translation, but these are the three things that are going to keep you asleep: immorality, impurity, or greed. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just a matter of doing the right thing or avoiding the wrong thing. We get those things under control in our lives so that we can be free to love. And you think about it. If you're acting immorally or in an impure way or a greedy way, how in the world are you going to love?
Right. So in order to have a vibrant faith, it seems to me that when we give in to the lies that a little flirting is okay or a little greed... You know, interesting that those two things are in the same sentence.
It is. It is.
Because we sort of don't even give greed another thought. When we start thinking that those things are like a little bit of them are okay, I think that our faith goes to sleep a little. And just how, you know, a little bit of you dies or you kind of go to sleep. And then more and more, because we find out it feels kind of good. It feels a little satisfying to be greedy, or it feels a little satisfying to flirt, get a little further and further away. and just what that does to your heart long term.
A little bit later in the passage, again, we're in Ephesians chapter 5, there's an interesting statement that's made about not being deceived by empty words. And I've been thinking about that in the whole context of being awake and alive, is because, you know, there are a lot of proponents around us that want us to be asleep. Mm-hmm. And the chief one is the evil one. He wants us to be asleep to spiritual things. He wants us to be alive to immorality, impurity, or greed, so that he basically can eat our lunch and, you know, our spiritual lunch. That's what he wants to accomplish. And I just love that whole idea that that we're not supposed to fall for empty words that have no substance to them.
One of the things I thought about is what God loves, and really what people around us love, is for us just to be authentic, which means also being obedient from our heart, not duty. But then as I started to write that word down in my notes, I thought, you know, duty is what you do for a king. It's what a servant does for a king.
Right.
You do the things that are dutiful. It's your assignment, it's my job, it's my mission, it's my function. So on one hand, you don't want to do everything out of duty or legalism, and yet there is a sense of duty in that kind of obedience. So anyway, just since we've talked about this, I'm kind of wrestling with that whole language, I think.
Sure. Could you pick up in your translation on with the empty words part right there? Let no one deceive you.
What verse are you on?
I don't know. I don't have them numbered here. I took out the
empty
verse
words. Six. Yeah. I got it. Don't let yourselves get taken in by religious smooth talk. God gets furious with people who are full of religious sales talk, but want nothing to do with him. Don't even hang around with people like that. You groped your way through that murk once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. So no more stumbling around. Get on with it. The good, the right, the true. These are the actions appropriate for daylight hours. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it.
There's a phrase in my translation that's reflected in what you're saying right there. It says, but now you are light in the Lord. It's not that we're in the light. Mm-hmm. We are light in the Lord.
And so where we go, we carry that.
Yeah, which is why he then says, walk as children of light, because we're no longer in the darkness. Now we're in the light.
So then on to verse 11, don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one will see. And so your question kind of around that is, what are disgraceful deeds?
Yeah. Yeah.
There are things generally I don't want other people to know about.
Well, and you know, for somebody who's a Christ follower, by and large, those are things that we reject, but we're always being drawn into doing things. And maybe they're not as much as overt. You were talking about early on in this passage, we were talking about immorality, impurity, or greed. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people think greed's cool.
Right. Or they have never actually defined it for themselves.
Call it something different.
Yeah.
Then he makes a pivot in the passage.
Well, one more thing about that I think was really interesting that struck me today is expose these things. And so, it's like, I don't really want to be that direct, because it's not just talking about exposing them in myself. They're, as a community of believers, we're supposed to be bringing those things out so that we don't live that way anymore.
Yeah. And basically by exposing it, that means your light in the Lord, you bring the light to it. Uh-huh. And whatever that means in that situation, let the light shine on it so people can be free.
Because when you do that, you rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep, climb out of your coffins, and Christ will show you the light.
Yeah, I love this. That's a great translation. Mine says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And then he continues saying, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. And I love this phrase in this translation, making the most of your time, because the days are filled with darkness. And so if we're going to be children of light, it's important for us to, basically, the way I understand how Paul's explaining is that we need to awaken. We need to come awake. It's not like you come awake once.
Right.
You come alive and you come awake to God on a continual basis, and then you rise from the dead. What does that mean? Well, you come out of darkness, which is what death is, because you're children of light and you walk in light. And when you walk in light, you are accomplishing the will of the Lord God.
Mine says, so watch your step, use your head, make the most of every chance you get. And then it says, these are desperate times. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Somebody, Turn it off.
Somebody's phone is ringing. I don't even have my phone in here, so I
don't
know.
Oh, someone else's.
Oh, wait. I think it is here in my pocket. I'm not sure.
Well, we're not redoing this.
Oh, look. It's from out of state. Anyway, the why and the what of waking up. I think there are some other resources down below that you might really enjoy. But back to the idea of a sleepy dream. Sadly, much of the world is spiritually asleep. And God wants us to awaken, and the simple act of awakening, and then expand on it. Mm-hmm. And what you know inside of you is awake to God, or what you're hungry to have be awake to God, find it and let the light of God shine through your life. Arise, sleeper, from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
And I know you're ready to end, but I just have to read the last few verses because there is such a contrast. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the master wants. Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge drafts of him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to give God the Father. I'm sorry, any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master Jesus Christ, out of respect for Christ. Be courteously reverent to one another. And I love this version right here because it is so exuberant about goodness. It's not pious. It's not dutiful or legalistic. And just how he sums it up, you have this love for Christ, and it will make you courteously reverent for the people around you.
Awake, sleeper, rise from the dead, and the light of Christ will shine on you.